Good afternoon and welcome. We're glad to have you with us today, and we hope that you will participate either in person here in the studio or by calling 979-779-5367. That's 979-779-KEOS. We also are going to be putting this forum on the podcast after the event so that you can listen to it at any time. We'd like to thank both KEOS and the League of Women Voters and the Eagle for sponsoring this event. We're going to begin now with the Bryan Mayor race. With us are Bryan Mayor Jason Bayinski and former council member Mike Sutherland. Mr. Bayinski, would you begin with some opening remarks, please?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Borden. First off, I want to thank the Bryan College Station Eagle, the League of Women Voters, KUS 89.1, for sponsoring us and hosting this forum here today on a kind of cloudy Sunday afternoon. I hope everyone survived the torrential downfall that we had yesterday, but much needed rain. Just real briefly, my name is Jason Bayinski. Honored to have served the citizens of Bryan for the past 3.5 years as their mayor. Been on the Bryan City Council since 2005, been mayor pro tem for 3 years prior before being elected mayor. Fourth generation, lifelong resident of Bryan, married to my wife Tasha for almost 19 years, have two beautiful young girls, Becca and Brynn, here in the community. Work and sell real estate, and previous life was an economic developer for Brazos Valley Council of Governments, working to recruit and expand businesses here in the Bryan College Station Brazos Valley area. I think we've done a wonderful job in the past few years ending all lawsuits between the two cities of Bryan and College Station, instead of burning bridges, mending bridges, bringing the communities back together, and moving Bryan forward. We've put more money into infrastructure improvements over the past few years. We've brought in more businesses over the past few years, more residential subdivisions, improving the quality of life in our community here in Bryan. We've been recognized for some of those achievements as one of the top places to retire, one of the top places to do business, one of the top places to live in the country here just in the past 6 months. Our downtown Bryan is thriving. It's doing wonderful. We're very proud of what we've done in the revitalization of downtown Bryan. The Crown of the Queen Theater is rotating again. So we got out of the hotel business with the LaSalle Hotel. It's back on the tax rolls and private ownership hands, and we're focusing back on the core services. That's important. We continue to work on the aging infrastructure needs of our community. Bryan is an older community, and so we've got to continue to put money back into improving the infrastructure in our community. But if you like what you've seen over the past few years, you like the progress that Bryan has made over the past few years, I would appreciate your consideration and support for one more term for Bryan Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Sutherland, would you like to make some opening remarks?
Yes, please? Thank you, Robert. Mike Sutherland running for the Mayor of Bryan, and I want to thank KUS for putting this on. Also, it's a fundraising drive for you guys, so if we do a good job debating tonight, y'all can drop them a coin or two. Anyway, I'm 67 years old. I've been married 47 years. I have 3 children, 5 grandkids. I've lived in Bryan for 30 years, and I've had was in the Army 22 years, and I had my own business here, 3 different businesses actually in Bryan, 2 insurance agencies that I built and sold, and I had the driving range on Boonville Road, which wasn't as prosperous as those. But anyway, I've had 3 businesses in Bryan. I've enjoyed my time here in Bryan. I was on the council for 6 years, and as Mr. Bayinski was saying, there's been a lot done, a lot, and I've worked hard on a lot of those projects. I've worked with the citizens to improve a lot of other areas other than just the economic structure, because I believe that if your city is appealing to others, if you have amenities, people will naturally come to your town. And we've worked on everything from animal shelter to the golf course to assisted living facilities. There's been just a myriad of projects, and I'm proud to work for the citizens. That's why I'm running again, because the citizens tell me there's issues that we still need to work on, things that we need to do, and I'm willing to do that. I'm retired. I don't have a business anymore, maybe I should be fishing and hunting, but I've been called because citizens tell me they need help, and I can't, as in the Bible, the Good Samaritan, you can't pass somebody up if they need help. And my family expects me to do the best I can with what I have to do and with my talents. And I believe that I've identified some issues that we can work on to make Brian much better than he ever has been before. I know we're in pretty good shape now, but we can do a whole lot better than we're doing. And that's why I'm running. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you. We're going to begin the questions with the mayor, and then we'll alternate back and forth. This is a question called in from one of the citizens of this community. And Mr. Bryansky, Mayor Bryansky, why have several Bryan City Councils failed to institute a standard nepotism policy? Currently, your brother and a council member's son serve on the Planning and Zoning Committee. Do you see this as a problem, given the fact that the Planning and Zoning Committee's decisions could be appealed to the City Council?
Thank you, Robert. We're all volunteers. I don't know if anyone realizes that the mayor doesn't get paid. I mean, we get a $10 a month salary. It's not $100,000. Our city committee members and board members are volunteers also. There is nothing illegal against the law for anyone to serve on any city committees. My brother does serve on the Planning and Zoning Commission. I did not vote to put him on that. My opponent actually voted to put him on that. I abstained from that. Our council member that has a son on a committee, he also did not vote to put his son on that committee, abstained from the voting. But any citizen, taxpayer, resident of our community has a right to serve. That's what my opponent fought for. That's what many of us fought for, our rights, our freedoms. And to say that there's a problem, if there is nepotism laws. My brothers or family members can't be the city manager. So there are laws and rules put in place, but to say that they can't volunteer their time for the betterment of the city, I'm opposed to that. Everyone should be able to have the right to serve the community. And, you know, if you have to abstain from certain votes if you have any conflicts, as does all the council members, as does all the committee members. But I have no problem with anyone's relatives or friends serving for the betterment of our community.
Mr. Southern, how would you answer that question?
I know that's tough when you're dealing with relatives, but I've been volunteers in a bunch of organizations, military, and even the city of College Station has a nepotism rule. I think the problem is that it's difficult to be objective when you're arguing against or for your relative. It's very, very difficult. So in our jobs, we have to be unbiased. We have to be clear thinking and do our homework. And when one of your relatives has an interest in something, it's not good form. And I'm not sure where else you can do it. Even in the Red Cross, I had to sign a form that I didn't have any conflicts, no relatives or anything in the organization that I had conflicts with. And I just think you get better government if everything's open, if everything's laid out on the table, and you can discuss things freely without biases.
And yet, did you vote for Mr. Bryansky's brother when he was up for the committee for the Planning and Zoning Commission?
Yes. Why? Was there anything wrong with that?
No, I'm just asking.
Oh, yeah. No, I voted for him. I voted for a whole bunch of people. But having said that, I think that we need to balance those committees better, because there's people that are from a couple of districts that load up those committees, and we need to. And I wrote an ethics policy that I left, and I don't think any of it was used, but that would balance the committee so that each council member has one representative from their district on every committee or whatever, every committee or commission, whatever the case may be.
I have heard from a number of people that they have applied numerous times to be on various city committees and have not been chosen. Mr. Southerland, you alluded to that. How would you go about appointing committee members?
Well, it has to be approved by the council and have to be in an ordinance. But I believe that there is a balance that needs to be struck. And I tried when I read through the applications to see what district they were from and what committee we were working on to see if there was a balance on the committees. That's difficult to do when you don't have a methodology to do it. And what I think the appropriate thing to do would be to have, if let's say we have, I think there's probably 20 committees that have appointments. And so each council member should have an opportunity to have an appointment to every one of those committees. So you would wind up having, if there's seven people on a committee, you'd have one from District 1 through 5, one from the mayor, and one from the at-large council member. Now, the way that would have to work is that you have 15 appointments, but your appointments have to be approved by the council. But the way I wrote it is, another council member can't take your appointment unless you relinquish it, unless you didn't have someone that could fill that job. But from what I saw in the 6 years I was up there, there's people all over town that want these jobs. I'll bet you we have 150 or more applications every period to put, you know, for people to go on those things. But we what I saw was that there was a tendency to reappoint people to the committees, which, you know, makes somebody else, take somebody else out of serving they would want to serve. And it's great that everybody wants to serve, but we need to pass that around the town, because I think we have a duty to the public to train them on what goes on in the city and how the city operates. And you can't do that by just having the same people all the time on those committees or same people from certain parts of town, because there's different interests all over town. On one side of town, they're interested in sidewalks not in. On the other side of town, they have sidewalks, so that's not the same interest. And you can't disregard someone just because of their idea that they have that they want to bring forward. So that's okay. What I do.
Mr. Bayinski, how do you think that the committees members should be chosen?
Well, Mr. Borden, back when in my 20s, when I was applying for city committees, I checked pretty much every blank for every committee that was available. I joke that I actually served on about every committee that was available at the city of Bryan, then ran out of committees and ran for city council. When I first came on in 2005, we did have a shortage of applicants for folks applying for a lot of the committees. And so we were actually going out and asking people to fill out applications to apply for the committees. Here just this past year, it's tenfold the number of applicants for the various committees, which is outstanding. I'm glad that the community wants to get involved. We've actually added additional spots to several of the committees so we can bring on more people. And you are eligible for most of the committees up to two terms. If you attend the meetings and doing your job on that committee and you want to serve again, it's always been the rule of thumb, not by my administration, not by this council, but previous councils also, that you would be reappointed. So sometimes there may not be a spot for 4, 5, 6 years for some of these positions. That's why we've added additional allotments to some of the committees to bring in more people. We've actually encouraged that over the years. It's great that we have this problem. It's great that we have a lot of people that are now wanting to serve on these committees. I'm not necessarily a supporter of kicking someone off if they're doing a good job. If they reapply, they have the right to be reappointed. But there are some committees that have term limits now where you can serve up to maybe 2-3 year terms, then someone else can come on. So we don't always. So if you fill out an application and you apply for one position and there's not a vacancy in that position, or it may not be a vacancy for another year, then, you know, sometimes we'll call and see if you want to serve on another committee. But I encourage the citizens to fill out multiple requests for multiple committees. So if there's not an opportunity on one, there may be an opportunity on the other that has a vacancy.
All right. I'd like to remind our listeners that if they have questions they would like to ask, to please call 979-779-KEOS.
Robert, can I add to that?
Yes, sir.
One thing that there's a tendency on the council to do is the council members vote in a block. So if you're a minority council member and trying to get people on the council, that's difficult to do because people vote in a block. And so that's why I think it's essential that you have a methodology so that each council member has a certain number of appointments that can't be taken away from them. That would balance the committees across the town district-wise and then at-large-wise also.
All right. Mr. Bayinski, anything else? All right. We're going to turn to a question from the League of Women Voters. Mr. Bayinski, when is it appropriate to spend tax dollars to augment city staff with outside staff when it already has qualified staff working for the city, particularly referencing the city attorney's office?
Okay. Talking about like the city attorney's office and different specializations and legalizations, our city attorney handles the day-to-day operations of the city, the legalities of the city. If we're in certain lawsuits in regards to a certain item they're not comfortable with, we will hire outside attorneys. That has been common over the years. We want the best representation, but you know, you have some attorneys that are good on civil law or divorces or family law, or some that are good on litigation, some that are good on criminal defense. So each have their specializations, but the city attorney's overall job is to look at the day-to-day operations, the legal documents, to review those documents, to look at the human resource, look at all of the policies and procedures that we pass. But sometimes when we are involved in lawsuits or we have other type elements at a higher authority, then we will look at hiring and bringing in additional staff and support staff to assist our city attorney to best represent the citizens of Bryan.
Mr. Sutherland?
That's usually the city attorney's recommendation. She has to deal with her staff and what skill levels they have, but the council approves that. And my question is always, as the questioner is asking, I think, is why do we need to spend this money? Why can't y'all do it in-house? And I ask for justification. So I think you have to consider each case on a case-by-case basis. And since the city attorney has the charter authority and she has the expertise, you have to rely on what she says unless there's more information to be gathered somewhere else. So I just think it's a case-by-case basis.
All right. We have another question from the audience of listeners. Somebody call 979-779-5367 and wants to know, and we'll start with Mr. Sutherland first. City council members receive city health care benefits while part-time city employees do not. Is the policy equitable given that the city council members are unpaid volunteers and realistically spend fewer hours on the job than the typical part-time city worker?
That's another good question. I think there's more to it than that, the fairness. I think also, is it okay by the charter to do that? Because some believe because the charter limits the council members to being paid $10 a month that they're precluded from having additional benefits such as the health care. And I don't know if anybody's looked into that. We've discussed that several times. But I don't think it's fair because those part-time people need health benefits. The council members need health benefits. Although the council members do pay the city portion of the cost of the health insurance, that's not all of the health insurance. The health insurance total is supplemented or subsidized from the taxpayers to the tune of about $7 million a year. So although you pay a premium when you pay the city health insurance, that's not all the cost. The taxpayers pick up the rest of it. So I do believe that that is an additional enrichment of a council member that's not supported by the charter, and I don't think it's right in relationship to the employees either.
All right. Mr. Bayinski?
Well, that policy was put in place before me. I'm not the city attorney. The city attorney and our legal department make that determination. We are considered city employees. We do get paid 10 bucks a month, as opposed to if we were getting paid $100,000 a month. So whether it's $10 or $100,000, we pay taxes on that $10 a month, so we don't get the full $10. Uncle Sam gets their cut of it. Social Security gets their cut of it. So we are considered city employees, and the city council members are entitled, according to charter, according to our legal department, to city benefits. And if we want to, as council members, pay for health insurance, and we have that opportunity. If you look at county commissioners, what they get paid, almost $100,000 with benefits and health insurance and salary. And you look at our state representatives, our U.S. congressmen. I think the only ones that probably don't get anything at this point are probably the school board members. But I am not part-time. I put in an average of 40 hours plus a week as mayor, so I don't consider myself a part-time employee. And a lot of the council members put a lot of their time day in and day out and on weekends, but that's not my rule or something that I enacted as mayor. That's something that was there previously, and the city council has the right to take advantage of if they want to buy health insurance, and they can pay for it. But it's not paid for by the city. They actually pay their portion of it.
May I follow up?
Yes,
Robert,
sir. Mr. Sutherland.
I was on the council, I think, 4 years before I realized anybody was getting health insurance through the city. I don't believe that's common knowledge. Number two, I believe when you raise your hand and you swear to do the job, at the front end you know it's a $10 a month job. And regardless of how much you get paid, you don't have to run. If you want more money, run for something else. But it's a $10 a month job, and you got to love it to do it. And that's why I'm running, because I love to take care of people. I love to work with people, and I love to see things corrected that are wrong.
Robert, I would say all seven of us that serve on the city council aren't doing it for the money. So if anyone thinks that you're going to, you know, make a big salary by being a councilman, I look at some of the candidates out here in the audience. I hope you know that it's a $10 a month salary, because we actually had kind of like that state representative that got elected here in Texas a year or two ago. thought he made $100,000 a year and wanted to resign after that. Well, it is a voluntary job, and our council members, whether you like them, don't like what they're doing, they do put in a lot of hours in serving the community. It is a volunteer position, but because the charter mandates a $10 a month salary, there are certain provisions that go with that.
All right. We have a question from the League of Women Voters, and it's the first of several questions about economic development and tax incentives. This first one, and I believe we begin with Mr. Sutherland, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think giving tax incentives to companies to locate in our area unfairly discriminates against local companies who have to pay higher taxes?
To me or
I believe it's me. Mr. Sutherland.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that's correct because I've always been torn with these economic incentives to, especially people like Walmart and those developments over there, when I know that the small businesses are going to be impacted by that big old box store coming in. And the data I read about stuff like that is that they create three jobs, but you lose two in the small business world. I think and over in Austin, they have this small business office that helps to the small businesses go through the system and help them perform better. And I think we got to do more of that. I think that most of the country is built on small businesses, and I think we got to grow them and take care of them. And there's a lot more things that go with that in terms of what they need to survive and thrive. And one of them is rooftops. The other is amenities. College Station has 1,700 acres of parks, and we have 600 acres of parks. And so those kind of things have to happen. They have four cents on the dollar or four cents per hundred on taxes. We have 6 cents. You know, those kind of things got to be looked at and worked on, because the state and the study College Station did shows that the thing that draws people to your community is density and amenities, not incentives.
Mr. Bayinski, how would you respond to that?
I'd ask my opponent how you pay for those amenities if you don't expand your tax base without having to add additional burden of taxes on our citizens. I have a background in economic development. I've worked in economic development for 6 or 7 years for BBCOG as the director of economic development. So that is one of my fortes and one of my specialties. Unlike my opponent, I do believe that we need to look at incentives if it's good for the community for existing businesses that are here in Bryan and new businesses that want to move to Bryan. But I don't feel that if we didn't come to the table and we don't offer any kind of incentive for an existing business wanting to expand or for a new business wanting to locate here, I think you'd see a lot less here in our community when the competition around us, whether that be College Station or that be Navasota or Waco, Texas, or Alabama, like we've competed against here recently, if they're offering incentives, you can decide if you want to come to the table, and a business is going to do what's best for their bottom line, and they're going to look at what's best for their company, and they're going to go where they think is best. And if we want to continue to bring jobs to our community, which help the quality of life, which help increase our average wages and help the unemployed and the underemployed, we need to do this. And for the record, on the Walmart deal, show me where we gave $5 million to Walmart. I see it. I hear it. I know my opponent talks about we wrote a $5 million check to Walmart. I'm waiting to see a copy of that check. We did not work with Walmart. We're working with the developer out there that wants to bring a new shopping center to the west side of town. We have a huge need for restaurants, grocery shopping on the west side. I do believe Walmart would locate out on the west side probably in the next 10 years. So we have to decide, Robert, if we want to wait 10 years for this new shopping center and wait 10 years for a grocery store, or do we want to accelerate that process and bring them to our community now? So what we're going to do, if we bring them to our community now, we will rebate them back part of the sales tax that they're going to be paying, the new money that's coming into our community, the new tax dollars that's coming in our community, because most of that land out there is ag exempt. People are not paying taxes on that land. So the new money will go back into some of those infrastructure improvements out there, which will bring some of these new retail establishments to our community many years ahead of time. So that payback may take 2, maybe 3 years, and now we've got possibly 7 years of new taxes that are generated for our community, new job opportunities, and again, new opportunities for our citizens on the west side. Axis Pipe and Tube, $40,000 average wages, $150 million investment in our community. We went up against the state of Alabama. And I assure you, they offered a lot more at the table than the city of Bryan did to get them to land in their state. And we worked hard to bring those jobs, those opportunities, and that investment here to our community to, again, add to, and those dollars that they pay, the taxes and that are generated, the people that have those jobs can spend more money at all the Ma and Pa businesses, all the other retail establishments, with all the contractors around town, improvements, whatever they decide to do with that money, it helps the quality of life. Those dollars go into our park system. Those dollars go into our infrastructure improvements. So we're generating new tax dollars without having to go to the citizens and cause additional burden on them with new taxes. So that's why we've decreased our tax rate the past 2 years, because we've got some of that new growth. And you'll see our sales tax dollars have gone up over the last couple of years more so than probably the last 10 years. Our hotel motel tax dollars have gone up. So we are expanding our tax base here in our community without taxing our citizens.
All right. We'll begin this question from the League of Women Voters. I'm sorry, Mike. Please.
Did I?
You bet.
Yeah. The deal with Walmart, we didn't cut a check to Walmart. Remember, I was on the council in the closed sessions when that was going on, so I have some understanding of what happened. We didn't write them a check, but we promised them that they would get up to $5 million.
Promised the developer.
Tax rebates. Somebody's going to get the money, and Walmart's coming as a result of that. So we promised them $5 million in sales tax rebates. And I checked the records, and over a 10-year period, we didn't have a $5 million increase in sales tax. And I don't understand why you give somebody something. The biggest corporation in the world is going to benefit from it. Maybe you didn't give them to them directly, but the biggest corporation in the world is going to benefit from something that our taxpayers could use in other areas like sidewalks, all kinds of other places. I just don't believe that that's the appropriate thing to do, especially when they're already coming here. Second thing is, I've done everything. I'm not an economic development guy, but I've done everything from fly helicopters to ride on the end of a garbage truck. But I can talk to people that know that stuff. And I consulted with a professor at A&M that does urban development, teaches urban development. And he told me that we're doing something wrong. And the reason we did that is because I asked him, if all the stuff we're doing is working, why is there a $2 billion difference in the tax values, the taxable property values in Bryan and College Station? Why does College Station have about $4.5 million in hotel motel tax and Bryan's got about $600,000? Why does the permits show, the stick-built houses, the new permits show that when there's four houses built, three are built in College Station? Why is that? Why do we have 73% of our children below the poverty line? Why is that? I can't understand that. And if you look at the rest of the state, and you look at the whole state, the rest of the state's doing much better than we are. They're doing much better than College Station's doing, and we're doing worse than College Station's doing. I looked at the sales tax, and the sales tax records from the state office show that out of 1,100 cities in the growth of sales tax, we're 750-some-odd. We're really close to the bottom. So what I'm saying is, I don't know what's wrong exactly. I got my own ideas because I observed it for six
Sounds
years.
Sounds like everything's
but
wrong.
Something is wrong. But something is wrong because we are not doing what we can do. We got lots of money laid out in town. We got lots of money laid up there in that Triangle Park. We got money in downtown Bryan. We got money in the west side of town, the biomedical corridor, to the tune of about $100 million. Now, that's got to produce for us, and it's not producing now for us. And one of the things that we're missing that I've talked to experts about is that, for instance, in Austin and Travis County says if you get money from us, you got to give us something besides just the jobs. You got to have jobs that pay a current wage, a prevailing wage. You got to have a certain percentage of your people to live in our town or in our county, because you miss the boat if you don't guarantee people live in your town. You miss the sales tax, you miss the house tax, the property taxes on the houses they build, and you miss growing your town. And what happens to us, because, and I can show you the numbers, three out of four people build their houses in College Station. That's what's happening to us, and we got to stop that. We got to figure out how to stop that.
Okay, Mr. Bayinski.
Well, my opponent talks about how bad Bryan is, but he has no solutions. I'm not going to sit on my hands. I haven't sat on my hands the past 3.5 years. I've been very progressive in changing that. We've had We've been missing out on the middle-end housing market, you know, that $200,000 to $400,000 price range. We've worked to bring some of those neighborhoods to Bryan. We've done well with starter homes. We've done very well with the high-end homes. Actually, the average new construction homes are higher in Bryan than they are in Conestoga right now. A lot of that's because of the high-end development you see on the east and west sides with Miramont and Traditions and Park Hudson. So we've done a good job with the starter homes and the high-end homes. We're lacking in that mid-range homes, and that's why a lot of people do leave Bryan, because they can't find a brand-new $300,000 new construction home in the city limits of Bryan. It may be outside of the city. It may be in College Station, maybe somewhere else. And so we're working on that, but I'm not going to sit on my hands over the next 3 years. If you reelect me as mayor, Bryan, we're going to continue to move forward. We're going to work with local businesses. We're going to work with new businesses. We're going to work with people in making Bryan the better place, moving Bryan forward, and, you know, otherwise, we could sit back and watch. If we don't take any action, we're going to continue to go backwards. I want to move forward. And so there lies the big difference between me and my opponent.
All right.
Can I respond to that?
Certainly.
No?
Yeah. Let's hold it short because we are.
Okay. I do have lots of plans for that. Number one plan is to consult with some experts on what to do, not just the people that we have now that are on the council. And I believe that we got a lot of potential, but we're not using it properly. That's the problem.
Mr. Mayor, did you?
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah. All right.
Go back and forth to that.
We have another question from the League of Women Voters on a related topic. When incentives and tax breaks are offered, what do you feel the city's role should be in holding the beneficiary accountable for their making good on their part of the deal and reporting to the public the results of such packages or tax abatements? Mr. Sutherland?
I think there's got to be follow-up all the time. I've recently asked for some open record stuff on a business that's gotten incentives, and I didn't get much information, and then so I had to ask for it 2 or 3 times, and I discovered that they're not performing to the standard that they're supposed to perform to. And I passed that on to the city auditor. I don't know what's going on with it, but there's got to be, the council has to hold people's feet to the fire, not somebody down the line somewhere, somebody that doesn't have to pay the bills or somebody that's not responsible for guarding the funds as the council is that the taxpayers put in there to create all these incentives.
Okay. Mr. Bansky?
Board, we work with Research Valley Partnership. Mr. Todd Gary is our economic development arm for the city of Bryan in the city of College Station, Brazos County, in this area here. We put clawback provisions on our economic development agreements with these companies, whether it's an existing company here in Bryan, Texas, or a new company moving to Bryan, Texas. If they do not perform, most of the incentives that we give to new businesses and existing businesses that expand are tax abatements. So it's the new, it's abating the new taxes that they're paying. If they had $1 million property and they made it a $2 million property, then maybe we'll give them an abatement on that additional new $1 million investment that they have in that company. So if that's not put into place and there's nothing to abate, if they don't perform, then the abatements can stop. So we have clawback provisions. If they don't perform, a lot of them are at the tail end, and they're not checks up front written to the companies for, you know, $5 million. It's money that they're going to generate, the new money they bring into our community that they're going to receive back, or that they'll get a cut of back for their expanding or locating here in Bryan.
All right. If any of our listeners would like to ask questions, please call 979-779-KEOS. That's 979-779-5367. We're going to move to infrastructure and a question submitted from the audience. Regarding infrastructure, and we'll begin with you, Mr. Bayinski, what should long-range plans be for sidewalks, road improvements, and I'm going to add street lighting to that, for North Bryan? Specifically, do you endorse the creation of neighborhood or citizen groups to seek improvements for their neighborhoods?
Well, we're always working with neighborhood organizations, neighborhood associations, citizens. If they come to their respective council members, we do have single-member districts in Bryan, which is unique to this area. So each part of town, each area of town has at least one council member that they work with. We have an at-large, and then the mayor that's at-large that they also work with. So typically they go to their council member, they'll talk to them about a project or a problem that they have, and then they'll come to the council. We have a CIP, capital improvement projects and process that we work through that prioritize. They look at, you know, we have to serve the greatest needs of our community. So if we have, 50,000 people that are passing over one section of street, you know, that has to be looked at as opposed to an area that might have 10 people passing over an area. So there are some prioritizations that we work with our planning department, but we have put over $50 million over the last few years in infrastructure improvements. You know, we are playing catch-up for so many years. Long before my opponent and I served on the council, there were, you know, projects were pushed or the dollars weren't there. So we are playing catch-up. Our community is getting older, so we're continuing to work on those aging infrastructure improvements in all parts of town, not just North Bryan. But you'll have Councilmember Cortez that will come up here in just a little bit, and he'll talk about some of the improvements going on in his neighborhood, and Councilmember Madison in Single Member Districts 1 and 2. You know, more dollars have been put in, but we're going to continue to put those dollars in because those are our oldest neighborhoods in our community. And so our city staff has done a wonderful job doing some additional projects. Very happy with those projects. There's always more that can be done, but that's why we need to expand our tax base and work with expanding additional businesses and bringing in new businesses that can bring in new dollars to do more of these infrastructure projects.
Thank you. Mr. Sutherland?
Yeah, the question was forming committees to bring those issues forward, right?
Well, it was two-pronged. It was about long-term plans for infrastructure in North Bryan in specific. And also, do you endorse the creation of neighborhood or citizen groups
to promote those? I believe we need some more citizen groups. And what I would promote as the mayor is, first of all, that each district representative, council member, have a meeting once a quarter to ask people what they think and to bring that to the council and report on that quarterly to the council meeting. I would also form groups, different people in different districts have different issues. Some people like the flowers. Some people like the roads. Some people like the lighting. So we need to have different people that understand those areas and let them bring their issues forward. I did a couple of those things when I was on the council before, but they never really flourished. But we need to build the citizen input for all areas of Bryan so we can correct them. You've got to identify the problem before you can really, really solve it. And one thing about how much we put in the infrastructure, I believe, if my number is right, we got $100 million in TIFs and stuff like that. If we'd have put half of that money in our infrastructure in North Bryan and West Bryan, we'd be a heck of a lot better off. Because I believe that people come to our town now, and they look at the worst parts of our town because they're looking to settle here. They don't have any connections. And I believe when they come to some of our areas in town and they look and they drive to College Station, they don't come back. And I'm not proud of that, but that's got to be addressed and that's got to be worked on.
We got one last question and from the audience, and then we're going to go to closing statements. Mr. Sutherland, we'll begin with you.
Right.
It's about bus transportation and how do we improve it in the city?
That's a good question. I think one of the things that's lacking, I'm going to be kind of general, one of the things that's lacking is that we don't, the city doesn't work closely enough with people like the schools and the transportation and that kind of thing to see how we can help one another. I'm not sure what monies we can put in the pot to build up the transportation system, but I do know that when we voted on the downtown garage, that's part of the transportation system. When they did that, I asked, what kind of system are you going to have to go from the garage to downtown? We need some kind of tram like they have in Disneyland, you know, that transports people to make them help them use the garage. They said they were going to do it, but they haven't done it. So, you know, I hadn't really thought that through very much, but I know that we got to work with the schools and everybody to make sure that we're all connected well. And we don't, I mean, in the county will do part of their road and won't go up to the city part and it leaves a part undone. So there's a lot of areas like that we could work on together. I'm not sure what they would be in the transportation area.
Mr. Bayinski?
Mr. Borden, we have the Brazos Transit Authority that we work with. They operate all of the bus transportation in and out of Brazos County, and Montgomery County and other counties surrounding Bryan College Station. We can work with Brazos Valley Council of Governments if there's any additional dollars that could be made available for transportation. That's something we can look at. But the Brazos Transit Authority is the go-to organization and governmental agency that we work with that provides transportation to our residents here in this community. So if there's an issue with transportation, if that needs to be improved, then we need to bring in their officials to talk with them and see what we can do on improving the routes, improving the timing. I know I've talked with some of the CEOs of some of the local manufacturers here in the past 30 days, and we talked about transportation issues. We talked about getting their employees to and from the job site, and so we've already, with Brazos Valley Council Governments, are addressing some of those needs because if there's no transportation and the employees can't get to their employers, then that affects our labor force. So that's something that I think is very important in the overall economic community development aspect of it. So that's something we are working with, and we've got some committee meetings we're setting up with Brazos Valley Council Governments and Research Valley Partnership, working with these employers on getting their labor force to and from the workplace.
Thank you. We're going to have closing statements, and since we began with Mayor Bielinski, we'll begin the closing statements with Councilmember Sutherland.
Thank you, Robert. And forget, this is a fundraising week, so y'all send your monies in. Anyway, I thank y'all for having the forum, and I want to make it clear that I am proud of being a Bryan resident. I've been here for 30 years. I see, and it's easy to say, that everything's beautiful if you don't compare it to anything. But if you start looking around and you compare it to things, there's lots we can do in Bryan. There's lots we can do to make our citizens' lives easier. They can be more prosperous, and they can be better off than they are right now. And I'm dedicated to doing that. Whatever it takes, I've done all kinds of stuff in our town. It doesn't matter to me how tough the job is or how long it is or whatever. I'm proud to be able to do that. And I want open government. I want a government that's friendly to people, and I want a government that's understood by people. And some of the things we're going to have to do is we're going to have to change some rules in the way people participate in government. That needs to be looked at, and you need to change them. You can't just make a rule and think it's done. You have to see how it affects people. If it affects them in a negative way, you need to change that rule. So whatever the people's needs are, that's what I'm about. And I believe once everybody's set, this may be too big a deal, but once everybody's satisfied in their part of town that they got their streets clean and their issues corrected, we'll have a beautiful place, and everybody in College Station will be living here. Thank you.
Mayor Bielinski?
Well, I think my opponent paints a picture that we're in a mess like D.C., and I think it's quite the opposite. I'm very proud as a lifelong resident of Bryan, a graduate of Bryan High School, graduate of Texas University, of what we've seen. I had my 25th high school reunion last night, and a lot of my classmates from all over the United States were in town, and they were very impressed with what they're seeing, the prospering of our community, the improvements of some of the older aging parts of our community. And my opponent's right. We've always got things that we can improve on, things that we can make better. There is no perfect city in the United States, but Bryan, Texas is better off than most cities in the United States. We're not Detroit, Michigan. We've got we're in some of the best financial shape the city has ever been in. You know, we've paid off some debt. We're not borrowing new money to do projects. We're spending down some of our cash reserves to do some of these infrastructure projects. We've got a great city manager and city staff on hand that is very responsive, very customer service oriented. That is a motto and a deal I've been trying to pass for the past few years, to be more customer service oriented at City Hall, and we're making strides towards that. I think you'll see the improvements not only on the west side of town, the east side of town, the north end with the new Texas Triangle Park, but the revitalization of some of the central parts of town and our downtown Bryan. We've got a long way to go. We've got to put more plans into place to work with some of these businesses that have stayed vacant for many years, some of these properties that have been vacant. And if you like what you've seen over the past few years and you want to move Bryan forward, I ask that you please give me one more term as your Bryan mayor and vote Jason Bielinski this November 5th. And again, I thank KUS and the Eagle and everyone here in attendance and everyone out there in the listening audience for, regardless if you're for me or for my opponent, we appreciate that you get out and vote, and we appreciate that you care enough about our community to make our community better, because we don't need to fight about these issues. We do need to build bridges. We do need to work together, because many times my opponent and I had differences of opinions on the council, and we figured out a way to compromise on the deal, and that's what we need to do. If they did that in Washington and other places, we'd probably be better off too. So things are going well in Bryan, and I want to make sure they continue moving Bryan forward.
Thank you. We've been listening to Bryan Mayor Jason Bielinski and former City Council member Mike Sutherland. We're going to be back in just a moment with the candidates for Bryan Single Member District 1 for the City Council.